You're listening to the Business Artist Podcast. My name is Jan Melhoz, and today you're listening to the third interview with Cenk Perinya. It's the most listened interview, number one and number two on my podcast, and it's so relevant to talk to him right now. I really look forward to the next hour or so. Hi, Cenk. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Jan. It's so fun to be back with you again, brother. I'm ready for part three. Thank you for having me back.
Thank you for being here. How are you feeling, first of all? How are you? How is your emotional state? What is going on for you right now in the world? How do you perceive it?
This last month has been really energetic in terms of my health, in terms of the health of the world, current events. I live in meditation retreat. So my consciousness is always in a state of equanimity. I practice keeping it this way. But I also manage my Instagram, and I can gauge the energy of other people. Sometimes I have a lot of trolls attack me on Instagram. It's kind of emotionally draining to deal with so many messages each day. I try to answer questions and emails from everybody around the world. At the same time, post relevant memes to help awaken the consciousness. But the last week has been really draining. And it wasn't just me, because the Schumann resonance hit an all-time high. The historic high was 110 amplitude. That's pretty insane, considering the normal heartbeat frequency of the Earth is 7.83 hertz. But the amplitude went up to 110 this week. So a lot of people had weird dreams, sleeping problems. I woke up at 3 a.m. like every night. I had some very bizarre, vivid dreams. I stopped having nightmares and bad dreams. So my dreams have just been very lucid and memorable. When you wake up, you can really remember them. They're vivid. So that was something that was very strange this week, but it's very typical. If you are like an awakening spiritual person, you've been through these kind of things many times. But it was really interesting this week. A lot happened for everybody.
It's true. I was totally, I don't know if I've ever was physically that tired in the last week. Like during the day, you know, I couldn't almost do anything. I was really totally tired. My whole body felt tiredness.
A lot of people just fell flat face down asleep for like an hour during some of the days this week. And I posted like a meme, not even thinking much about it, of like this funny photo of somebody sleeping like face down, and then had something to do with like spiritual awakening symptoms. And then people would message me and they're like, this happened to me too. Like, oh my God. So it's not just me posting funny memes about my spiritually awakening ascension symptoms, like everybody has the same ones.
Yeah, totally. What do you think, in which phase are we right now of the awakening, of the fight for power on the world, on, you know, on the COVID phase? Where are we? What do you think?
I always look to see the cosmic cycle, because the Earth is constantly evolving. She's transforming into a new being, a higher being, just like a worm turns into a butterfly. But first, it has to live in its cocoon for several days to several weeks. So right now, we're in the cocoon phase, and we're about to emerge into the butterfly. Mother Earth is transforming into a higher consciousness. Some people say that she's shifting into 4D. Some people say she's moving into 5D. The point is that her consciousness is changing, and we are hanging on like fleas on a dog, and she's going to transform no matter what. And it's up to humanity to raise our vibration to meet hers. We have to raise our heart, and we have to raise our mind consciousness to meet her vibration, to travel along in her frequency. So the earth is constantly changing. This is changing the consciousness of everybody on earth, the good people, the bad people, the elites, the awakened ones. It seems like the light workers are feeling these changes much more than somebody who has like a very, very low vibration. But the truth is everybody's changing, and you're seeing this in terms of polarity shift. Like on the media, you'll just see negativity and fear. And then you talk to people like on Instagram, they're just like happy and awakened, and they're like really excited for the future. They're so positive, and they keep awakening more and more every day. You have this huge shift in polarity. It's been prophesized by so many ancient religions and civilizations that during these times, there would be a split. And that split is literally, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. So as we raise our consciousness and our vibration, you have to realize everything you see on the news is going to get crazier, and more things are going to be exposed, more corruption is going to be shown a spotlight on. And at the same time, you're going to have major advancements in peace and technology and things that heal the earth. So you have to always see the polarity game being played. And then you don't have to worry as much when you see like scary stuff on TV, because some people will see disasters, and then other people will see the new earth transforming. It's just part of the birth pains of the earth. So people need to just remain at peace at all times and realize this is a major shift for everybody. So we're literally hanging on, and it's something that we all have to work together to remain awaken and at peace during this time and not freak out.
Yes. You know, when I really feel sorry is when I see people walking around, for example, on their own in the park with a mask, wearing a mask, or driving in the car on their own wearing a mask. Well, see, my God, the fear mongering has taken this stage. So people are so afraid that they, you know, bring down their own health and their own emotions because of this fear. And I really feel, I almost feel like I want to go to them and tell them, you know, you don't have to do this, and, you know, to open their eyes a little bit. But do you think there will be a time when even TVs changed and people will be told the truth, and people will be given hope there, or will this go on forever, that we have those, you know, different worlds, different universes, where different people have totally different perception?
I think both of your answers are always right, because there will be some who still live in the fear. There will be some who won't be able to be awakened. But that's the timeline that they have to be on for a certain reason of their spiritual awakening. And then there will be those who are able to see past the lies, see past the corruption. They'll understand that, you know, there's other people who have these different beliefs, these awakened beings. Maybe I should listen to them. Maybe I should look into what they're trying to say. How come they're so happy? And why are they not in fear? Mm-hmm. So we can only do so much. And the media is always going to be fighting against the consciousness renaissance that we want to have. But everybody is doing their best to try to awaken as many as possible. And I think that universal karma will take care of all of the negative actions that the mainstream media has been doing. They're gonna fall down, and they're gonna fall down soon. And even President Trump keeps calling them out every single day. Fake news, fake news, fake news. Yes. He knows the truth. A lot of people know the truth. Americans are awakening. It just seems like the people on the news don't know the truth, like the news anchors. Yeah. Because they're the ones talking to us, you know, but everybody else is just tired of it. And we just have to be patient. I think it's seriously falling down. The tower has already fallen. And it's just a matter of time when enough people have awakened that they're not going to need to watch the news anymore. They're going to just turn to social media and podcasts and Instagram and Twitter and the voice of the real people, not turning on the TV, listening to a corporation tell you what to believe. I think people are waking up slowly, and it's just all in divine timing, Jan. This consciousness renaissance is divine timing. People are going to awaken when their soul is ready to awaken. So we just have to be patient for those people and show them the way.
Yeah, these are all necessary steps probably for us as a population to do the next collective step, right?
Yes, I encourage anybody who works at any of these news agencies, social media companies, mainstream news corporations, if anybody who's listening to this, if you guys work at these places and you guys are awakened, you know what you have to do. You have to, you got to take down, you got to take down the ship, you guys. This is a battle of information. And if you are privileged to work at these places, do your part and figure out a way to make sure that we win. Don't censor the things that we post. If you work at Google, YouTube, or whatever, don't censor the people. Do your thing and get out of there. But help us out, because there are white hats everywhere. Everybody has a good heart. So if you work at these places and you're trapped, you know what to do.
You know what? That's funny that you said that. In Germany, what I think is happening, because you know, in Germany right now, you get a lot of articles about QAnon, Q conspiracy theorists, and so on. But in the end, they writing as if they would, you know, telling, oh, these conspiracy theorists are so crazy, but they reveal everything. They really describe in detail all the conspiracy theories. They describe what are people thinking about Bill Gates. They write all these details, but they do it in a way as if they would exposing them. But in the end, people get aware, you know?
That is really bizarre, because I see that a lot. And I think that it's some sort of like universal law of duality, that when these people are trying to push out lies, they're somehow revealing the truth. And like when I was an art student, I used to read Vice and stuff for fashion.
Yes.
I had no idea 10 years later, it would be the mouthpiece of the Illuminati. Like, what the heck happened? How much money are these people getting? Like, how many staff had to be switched out or subverted? I don't understand how all of these huge mainstream places got totally 180 degree turn. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Brian Rose, I wanted to talk to you about Brian Rose, having his whole thing with Vice and TED Talks, his YouTube's being banned from London Real.
Yes.
So he recently had his TED Talks removed, and he already had like another battle earlier that week. I think it was YouTube who took down his channel or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I stopped listening to TED Talks many, many years ago when they took down Graham Hancock's speech about psychedelics and cannabis. And that was when I realized what TED Talks was really trying to do. And it made so much sense that other people, I think Rupert Sheldrake, also had his talk taken down. He was sort of like a contemporary with Graham Hancock. So these two psychedelic masters were having their speech censored by TED Talks. And I was like, okay, this makes so much sense now, why they would take down these types of people. So after Brian Rose's TED Talks got taken down, and he talks about psychedelics a lot, taking down the voice of psychedelic explorers is like one of the worst things you could ever do in terms of censorship, because they are the frontier. They are the people who have seen a world that has the potential to save the entire humanity. Our entire planet can be saved with the knowledge that psychedelics bring. So when that type of knowledge is censored by corporations and deep state and Illuminati, for me, that's what like really brings me to arms. That's like the most extreme thing you could ever do. It's the most disrespectful thing. And it's even like Instagram, they would ban the hashtag dimethyltryptamine, And that made me like really angry back in the day, because that is one of the most sacred types of knowledge you could ever share to the world to heal and save the entire planet. So when corporations are taking down this type of information, especially psychedelic explorers, that is like really big. No, no, we have to fight back. And Brian Rose is really brave for keeping up his pace and not backing down, because all the censorship that we see is going to backfire. It's going to make it's going to make more people awakened. And that is just how divine justice works in the universe. So don't worry. Everything is going to be okay. Everything is meant to be. Just keep on going. There's going to be a really good reason for everything happening.
Yes. I mean, Brian Rose is a great example, because he's really waking up in real time for everybody to see. He was a psychedelic explorer, but other than that, he had no idea about the deep state, about, he talked to David Icke because David Icke had a lot of, viewership, and he found him interesting, but he also kind of thought, okay, he's a bit crazy. But since he brought in David Icke for the first time in the Corona crisis, and he talked about 5G and COVID, and then it was taken down, then Brian Rose started to realize the mechanisms, and they are really, executed on him. So he's waking up for everybody, to all his followers, and he has a lot of followers, to see it and to see how they act when somebody is going against their narrative. And it's really, I think he's really showing so many people on his own example, for everybody to follow in real time what's happening. So that's why I think he's so valuable, and I'm so proud of him in a way. It sounds crazy, but that he's so brave to do it.
Yeah, I'm proud of you for meeting him. Like, I saw your picture with him, yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is okay. Now I know who Jan is. I know the type of people he has on his show and the type of people he needs to talk to. So that really prompted me to want to do the interview with you. I think 2 months ago we met, maybe 3 months ago.
Yes.
David Icke is a crazy character, and I love David Icke. I woke up many years ago. He was one of the first people who helped me along my awakening. He introduced me to a lot of things, including his really deep exploration of psychedelics. And when he talks about DMT, this guy knows what he's talking about. He is not messing around. The way he can describe DMT experience, and the way Terence McKenna describes DMT and other expert psychonauts, I really, really respect these people. And I believe a lot of the things that he says, they make sense to me. A lot of people wouldn't even believe in reptilians, but that's like old news to me now, But back then it was like, I would show somebody a David Icke video and then they would never talk to me again. So it's kind of fun to just send them to people to shock them and say, like, you can be my friend or not. I'm going to show you this video about reptilians, and if you don't like it, then it's cool if you unfollow me.
That's also a crazy time right now. I have it as well in my friends and even family. It's really a time when people can decide to totally turn on you because you have a different opinion. It's really strange and how emotional people get. For example, if I tell them that I doubt stuff of the, mainstream media narrative, they really get emotional. They don't want to talk to me anymore. It's unbelievable.
You live in Spain, and I can't imagine the type of woke knowledge you must be trying to say to people. But in America, not very many people are even awakened to the fact that CNN is fake news. I think my mom and dad still listen to the news. I don't even want to ask them where they get their news. I don't even want to ask them their opinion on the whole Corona thing. I'm I don't even bring it up. My parents are living next to Los Angeles, but I'm living in Thailand right now. So I haven't seen them for maybe a year or two, but I haven't even brought up anything relating to what's happening in the world. I'm just kind of waiting for them to realize like who their son really is and what I've been doing. And I want him to ask me, like, what do you do every day? And then I'm going to be like, here, read this Great Awakening map. And here, look at these like documentaries about Secret Space Program or something. Please just do something. Don't watch the news. Oh, I'm waiting for that day.
Oh, and then they live in California. I think California was regarded as one of the best places to live. And I think right now it's one of the worst places to live in the world.
I have no idea, but that sounds about right. California is really cool. Like you can chill there throughout any type of disaster or things that happen in the world. I'm not worried for my mom and dad. They're going to be okay in Southern California.
But the only thing for the rest, the government in California, I just read that now everybody has to wear a mask always.
Oh dear.
Yes, and then also that they have this contact tracing teams now who go to people's homes and test them and force them to get tested. And they can take
people
away from their homes.
I'm so glad I didn't stay in California. This is the universe's way of giving me something for my hard work. The universe sent me to Thailand at the right time. I don't have to deal with all this stuff back home. But good luck, mom and dad.
Yeah, they will get through it, and it maybe helps them to realize what's happening.
They should awaken a little bit during this pandemic. If anything, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
How is it in Thailand? Is everything relaxed, or how are people reacting there?
The city of Bangkok is closed. Like, everything is closed. People wear masks. It's really calm. Nobody really is freaking out. I don't watch Thai news, but I know that they just announced the typical thing, you know, wear your mask and obey the social distancing. It's really funny that Thai people know how to say social distancing in English, because I didn't even know that's what they were using as a term. Mm-hmm. And then people were telling me to social distance. I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, how did they even know that English word? So, you know, the Thai people are really respectful people. They're going to respect the law. They're going to obey the rules, but it's not as like draconian as it is in America. I feel that the law being issued in America is much more strict and stripping of liberties than it is in Thailand. I feel like in Thailand it's gonna pass soon, and everybody is just kind of chilling out. They're not really worried about the government abusing its power during this time. Mm-hmm. And I think other parts of the world may be able to say the same thing. I'm not sure.
Yes. How I think, from my perspective, it's almost the same in every country. It's a little bit different with the how hard it is enacted. And Sweden is probably what I've heard the easiest, where people go normally to school, to work and stuff, and even to bars. But it's really astonishing that the whole world got caught by it in some way. It's really a good thing.
When the quarantine first occurred in Thailand, I was meditating in a cave for 15 days, and I didn't have any phone or electricity or anything, no communication. It was a strict meditation retreat. And then when I came down from the cave, as the driver was taking me back into the town, everything was closed, and I was asking him, like, is today Sunday? Like, why is everything closed? And why are they checking my temperature? Like, you know, they would have that temperature gun, and they would have roadblocks. And he said, like, the whole country of Thailand is on quarantine. And I was just like, okay, this must maybe just for like the week or something. But it's been 2 months now, and I haven't really felt the effect of the quarantine, because I live in such a remote area of Thailand. And the only type of news I have of it is from Instagram and seeing people around the world in the videos and stuff. So I didn't get the full impact of the quarantine, but it does affect me. You know, I'm home every day, but for a yogi, you know, being home every day is like heaven. So I don't, it's not like I'm complaining at all. Yes. And it's just different how it affected me, because like when I was meditating, I just came back down from the meditation and everything changed. It's like, what happened to this world? Am I like, did I meditate myself into like a different timeline? I was like, what the heck? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's a totally different world. If you come out and the world changed like this, wow.
Yeah, like I need to go back up on the mountain for another 15 days and come down and see what happens in the world or something like that.
I think that's a good time to do that for sure.
One day I will go back, but not now.
Yeah. So are you like daily, let's say, involved from your mind and your emotions in the battle between the white hats and the black hats, or are you just following up on it? Is it important to you what's happening, or are you trying to get in another sphere and everything doesn't matter on the 3D world? How are you experiencing it?
Sometimes you have to back away from the QAnon research. Mm-hmm. It gets a little bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And for myself, a lot of people message me about very specific things happening in the QAnon game. And I would just tell these people, like, I don't know the specifics. I don't even know all of the names of the people in my Congress, in my government, like, the names of the lawyers and all these people. But I know the big picture. And the big picture is that the good guys are going to win in the end. But in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of fighting. There's a war going on. So, things that Q says and things that happen in the media are not going to always match up, because it's a live action game being played. People are dying. Heroes are dying. This is a very serious thing. And researching it so much every day, it doesn't really help me. Mm-hmm. So I try to just focus mainly on teaching people about the new earth and consciousness and ways that we can use our group mind to win the battle. And the QAnon stuff will always be there. You can always dive into that rabbit hole any day and get really caught up into it, But it's always good to take a break once in a while and do other things with your life and then go back to it maybe in a month or two. Q also urged everybody to take a break once in a while, because it can really be emotionally draining for a lot of people who are first awakening and getting into all of this dark, scary truth about the world and who really runs it and the heinous crimes that they're really doing against humanity and children and all these things. So it's good to get into the information. It's good to take a break. For me, I've been taking a break this entire month. I've been taking a break ever since my Instagram hit 100,000 followers about 2 weeks ago. I got shadow banned again. And I think that Instagram shadow bans accounts when they get up to 100,000. Yes. And they shadow banned me when I posted the cure for COVID, which is the hydroxychloroquine. Yes. So I was posting a bunch of HCQ cures and memes. Mm-hmm. Like I had the Pippi the Frog meme I created for some of the QAnon patriots. They wanted me to create this meme where I would put the cure, a bunch of cures of COVID with the Pepe Frog, and then they would plaster it around the world, like just printed it out or spread it virally as memes. But when I posted that on my Instagram, it immediately got taken down. I was given a warning, and then it was physically taken off my site, and then that's when my follower count just went like to zero, and I was scared like it was gonna fall back below 100,000, because that's how much I got shadow banned. It was very, very unsettling, because I had just reached like a really important milestone for my page, and I didn't want to lose that privilege because I had worked so hard. And when people see 5D Ascension knowledge with 100,000 followers, it makes the movement even more special. So it's for the community, it's for the people that I'm doing this. And Instagram is like literally tightrope walk right now, and I don't want to fall off the tightrope walk. So I have to be careful what I post. And I have a secret QAnon account that I post to. So I kind of have moved a lot of the super, super conspiratorial dark stuff to that account. And that keeps my 5D account safe. So I encourage a lot of light workers and patriots to do the same thing. A lot of people on Instagram come to me with concerns that their account is going to get taken down. I tell them, you need to make at least two or three accounts, and you have to expect the type of things that you post will get your account blocked or terminated. So post stuff, but don't post something that's going to get your account terminated like today, unless you are ready for that and have an extra account, a second backup account. This is a real information war, and censorship is real. And if you are a true meme warrior, then you're going to have a lot of ways to keep yourself safe. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. You have to act like
and have fun.
Warrior.
Yeah. Have fun doing it too, you know?
Yes.
This is a serious game, but have fun, because that's what's most important.
Yeah, but the censorship is really taking absolutely new heights, which I've never thought possible. So obvious as well for everybody to see.
So obvious.
Yeah, but the good thing is it's happening under the eyes of everybody, and I'm sure this will have consequences in the future.
Everything is meant to be. So sit back and relax and let the censorship roll through, because it's just going to make the truth movement even more cool, and people are gonna awaken at the right time. It's all meant to be. Divine planning,
exactly. So what are your in this time for you personally, what are your priorities, what are you focusing on, what is your big vision right now for yourself and for what you want to give to the world?
I was going to ask you that question first, but I guess I'll answer just a little bit. Right now, I'm focused with my Dzogchen meditation studies. And every day, I read Dharma, I read Dzogchen books, and I practice. And sometimes I have a video chat, I guess you can call it, like a Zoom meeting with my Dzogchen Lamas. And I have two Dzogchen Lamas who live in California. And then there's another Dzogchen Lama named Lama Suryadas. He wasn't my main teacher, but I listened to him a lot because he taught my other two teachers, Lama Christopher and Lama Daniela. So from those three Dzogchen Lamas, I get most of my direct transmission, which is very important for Dzogchen. You have to have a qualified Dzogchen master directly introduce you to the non-dual state of mind, also known as Rigpa. So we could talk about this all day. I love this topic so much. But that's my main practice every day. And by doing this, I generate bodhicitta, I generate good karma. I send my metta love to the world every day. And I'm constantly updating my Instagram, reaching out to thousands of people around the world, just from launching memes, you know. And this is just my way of contributing to the Great Awakening. And I'm constantly creating new graphics and new memes and new maps. I'm constantly managing my small shop, because I sell the Great Awakening map, as you might know.
Yes.
And the map ships out to countries around the world every day. And I have to make sure that that's running smoothly, because information is getting out to all of these countries and to all of these people who I never thought would even want to even look at the map. And now I'm faced with being a Dzogchen yogi plus running this huge operation to like awaken the world from the map I created and from the Instagram that is growing rapidly every day. It doesn't stop. So this is a really fun part of my life, probably the most favorite part of my life I've ever lived so far. This is my way of contributing as much as I can to the Great Awakening. And it's sort of everything that I've ever manifested since I had my spiritual awakening. I think everybody spiritually awakens because they want to change their life. They want to get out of some sort of depression or some sort of lack. And when I was living in Los Angeles, you know, I always manifested like, please universe, one day I wish to not have to work and I just want to travel and I just want to be free. And I always manifested this, meditated on it, and gave thanks and gratitude that it would come true. And 10 years later, this dream sort of is now happening. I'm sort of living that dream that I've always wanted. So spiritual awakening is real. Manifesting is real. Raising your vibration and consciousness is real. It really, really, truly gets you where you want to go in life. It makes your dreams come true. And after having my dreams come true, I'm literally helping other people make sure that their dreams come true. Yes. And I plan to go travel to Bangkok very soon because Bangkok is almost open. The malls are opening up and the trains are working. I'm really excited to go back into the city and just explore by myself every day as a yogi. And then hopefully figure out a country to travel to, maybe Japan, China, India, Tibet, something like that. Like, I have to really make sure the world is open though. There's no sort of like quarantine blockage stuff. You know, I don't want to go to any country when it's closed. It's just too hard to get around. So I'm looking forward to this year. And I don't need to stay in meditation retreat forever. I can go out and see the world and continue doing what I do, but travel and be a wanderer.
Mm-hmm. How does your right now the work you're doing for Dzogchen, how does it look like? Is it a lot of meditation, and is it guided meditation, or are you just sitting and doing the inner work? How can we imagine what you're doing on a daily basis?
Besides updating my Instagram and besides going out to get food, I'm sitting at home. I'm sitting in meditation. Like, it's called the non-dual state of mind. You don't have to be sitting down to practice Dzogchen. You can be walking around doing things, but you maintain this sense of awareness of the world, of reality. This awareness is an equanimous observation of everything. You're trying not to let your thoughts affect you emotionally. Like, you don't grasp at thoughts. You don't push away thoughts. When you see an object, you try not to see it as language. Like when I look at a cup, for example, I don't see a cup. I don't see the color of it. I don't see the language, C-U-P. I just kind of see everything as one evenness, one taste. And this is known as the non-dual state of mind, because duality is when the mind is constantly grasping at objects and quantizing objects and creating labels about objects. Like, when you look at a motorcycle, for example, I'm looking at my scooter right now outside my window. Somebody like me who's a designer, I look at this scooter, I think of all of these things I can change on it. I think of ways I could like modify it and make it much cooler. Or somebody who's a mechanic may see it and think of all these problems about it that they could change or something. And somebody who's not into scooters may look at it and think, wow, that's a really cheap scooter, or that's really expensive. So the mind is always judging and labeling and creating all of these nonsensical monkey mind things that don't even need to be thought about. Somebody who doesn't meditate is going to constantly have these type of thoughts in their mind. It's called the monkey mind. Mm-hmm. So a Dzogchen practitioner sees everything as one taste, as one smooth evenness. Their mind is not constantly grabbing onto things or pushing away things. This is the practice. It's maintaining an awareness of this equanimous state of mind, which is actually the natural state of our mind. It's the enlightened state of the mind. And the longer you stay in this state, the longer you are staying in the definition of enlightenment. So 1 second of awareness is 1 second of enlightenment. So the Dzogchen practice is having many, many different continuous seconds of meditation throughout the day, rather than just sitting down for like 2 hours with your eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
Dzogchen meditation is constantly you're constantly trying to keep aware. And then when you forget, you just go back. So you're having all of these very repetitive, short meditations throughout the day, which over time build up and build up and become more and more and more constant and more aware. So then you are constantly living in this state of non-duality where things aren't bothering you because your mind is not latching onto them. So this is the practice. I stay in retreat so that I can read and practice this in comfort. Mm-hmm. And like when I'm in Bangkok, for example, I like to walk around the city for hours and hours every day. And I try to keep the meditation practice when I'm walking. And it's a really good way to throw yourself into the hardest situation where the mind wants to constantly be craving or pushing away at things that you see in the city, because it's very loud and dirty and very messy and very fast. But I love Bangkok because I can be in that chaos and be at peace. And I think that is the true test of the yogi, is that they should be able to maintain this state of non-dual equanimous awareness at all times, not just closed eyes sitting down. They should be able to maintain this all the time. And that is the practice of the yogi, is to never forget this state of mind.
Great. If people want to, you know, get a little bit into Dzogchen, what would you recommend to listen to or to do or to how can you access this world best?
Dzogchen historically was considered secret mantra, and it was never supposed to be taught or told to other people. Mm-hmm. But over the past 20 to 30 years, the Tibetan monks realized that the knowledge would be lost if they didn't start to share it to the Western world. So Lama Surya Das is the Western, I guess you could say, Dzogchen master, who lives in New York, and he is the Dzogchen, direct Dzogchen lineage from Tibet. And he is the one that you should listen to first on his podcasts. Once you listen to him, he will give you direct transmission through the podcast of how to maintain the non-dual state of mind. Once you get this direct transmission, then you are sort of allowed to read on your own and then seek out other sources of knowledge of Dzogchen. The reason why Dzogchen is special to me, not many other Dzogchen practitioners may even know this, but why it's special to me is because Dzogchen is the path to the rainbow body. And the rainbow body is when an enlightened person passes away, they get to transform their human body into pure rainbow light. So usually a monk's body will dissolve down into a size of a tiny figurine over the course of a few days to a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And then once the body becomes that tiny, it will either vanish into nothingness, or sometimes it'll vanish into really bright spinning rainbow light. And sometimes rainbow lights will be seen emitted into the sky around the village. And sometimes even supernatural things will happen, like earthquakes or music will be playing throughout the village. Pleasant sights and smells may be heard. Very supernatural things occur when a person attains rainbow body enlightenment. And sometimes the only thing that's left behind is nails, fingernails, and hair. So there's many types of ways the body dissolves into rainbow light. Some of the masters would leave behind relics in their bones, such as crystals and exotic types of gemstones, or I think it's called rainbow body with remainder, is when an enlightened being leaves this earthly plane, but they leave behind these precious artifacts in their remains. And if you take these remains and you try to break them or split them, they will grow back. For example, I've seen this in Thailand a lot. Even Thai monks, Theravada monks, attain this type of remainder, where there'll be like these little jars that have bones in it. And then if you, for example, like take one of these bones and try to break it, it will grow back. And I've seen this all around Thailand. It's not really like that talked about, but it's true. And there's many ways there's many signs of enlightenment when a monk passes away. Not even just a monk, it could be a practitioner, a nun, any type of person who has this realization. So Dzogchen is known for creating many rainbow body monks. So that's why Dzogchen is special, because it's direct path to rainbow body. And I don't think any other type of meditation practice is as successful as what Dzogchen has produced in Tibet over the past 100 years. I think there's been over 160,000 documented cases of the rainbow body. I don't know how far back that goes, but that's a lot of people bursting into rainbow light and never having to be reborn again on this earth. That's pretty amazing. And then these souls, their consciousness can either choose to take rebirth again, which is what many Mahayana Buddhists choose, because they want to come back and help beings. Even though they're enlightened, they want to come back and help this earth again. So that's why a lot of Tibetan monks are reincarnated. Some of them choose to not be reborn. Sometimes some of them choose to return back to the primordial mind, the one mind of all, which is also known as primordial awareness, or the term, the Buddhist term for it is Buddha Samantabhadra, which is the awakened mind that you can return to. It's sort of like returning back to source, or returning back to the one infinite creator. This is sort of like the spiritual awakening term for it. And a lot of people who have taken psychedelics such as DMT, they may have had their consciousness ejected into 5D or 6D territory. And in 6D, you can see a lot of Tibetan Vajrayana imagery and strange lands, also known as pure lands or Ekanishta, Sukhavarti. These types of lands sort of become visible when your consciousness has taken a proper dosage of DMT. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people in the 1960s were drawn to Buddhism. And that's how Buddhism really exploded in America in the 1960s, with the LSD movement and all of the other consciousness expanding things that happened during that era. And I think that's one very profound aspect of Tibetan Buddhism, is that historically it was interwoven with psychedelics. And who knows why that I witnessed these visions myself. So there's so many special things that have to do with Dzogchen that a lot of people don't understand. And I think that is partly my reason for my goal in the Great Awakening, is to bring this type of knowledge to the world and bring this type of experience that I've had that led me to Dzogchen from psychedelics. I think a lot of people will find this path similar. Mm-hmm. And I think this path has a lot of potential for success, for attaining enlightenment in one lifetime, and allowing others to find this quick path to full awakening in one lifetime. Because Dzogchen promises that. Out of all other teachings of the Buddha, they say that Dzogchen is the quickest path to enlightenment in one lifetime. But the caveat about it is, not everybody will be able to understand Dzogchen, because it's a very advanced teaching of non-duality. And based on your karma from previous lives, if you had already been somebody who meditated, or somebody who had some sort of knowledge in Dharma or anything spiritual, I guess, related, they may have an easier time understanding and finding Dzogchen. So it's sort of like based on somebody's past karma, which is very interesting. I don't think a lot of other practices, spiritual practices, depends so much on karma. Everything depends on karma, but Dzogchen to a degree is very, very dependent on how much you've already done in past lives to be able to take in the type of knowledge that is required to understand the non-dual state of mind. So I challenge all your viewers who listen to this podcast. I think a lot of people will be able to understand Dzogchen. But if they are not able to, I recommend Vipassana to all people who are interested in meditation, because Vipassana was the method of the Buddha that was born 2,500 years ago. He taught Vipassana throughout his life, traveling throughout India. And Vipassana is a path to enlightenment, but it may not be the quickest path to enlightenment. You may have to practice it for several lifetimes, is what I've heard. And there's reasons for believing that. And when you understand the method of Vipassana versus Dzogchen, Vipassana is not a non-dual teaching. It's based on duality. It's based on cause and effect. And a lot of the Buddhist teachings were based on cause and effect. But when you get to Dzogchen, the Vajrayana teachings, these are based on non-duality and emptiness. It's a little bit more advanced. It's a little bit more, how do you say it? It's a little bit more quicker. It's a quicker path to enlightenment, but it's a little bit more advanced. So all the teachings are based on somebody's prior understanding of Dharma. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's really true to Buddhism. So anybody who wants to learn meditation practices of enlightenment, the two that I recommend are Vipassana and Dzogchen. I also recommend Zen to anybody too. Zen is very similar, but it has its whole own other backstory and goals and aims, and it's a whole other thing, but it's a similar path. So people have always heard of Zen. It's just they haven't realized that it's a non-dual teaching.
Yes. The Dzogchen master from New York you mentioned in the beginning, can you exactly say his name again so everybody can look him up?
His name is Lama Surya Das, Surya Das. Mm-hmm. And he's on Instagram, Lama Surya Das. He also has a really good podcast, which helped me really understand Dzogchen. Mm-hmm. I was reading Dzogchen for about a year or two and practicing for my two lamas. But when I listened to his podcast, I started to really, really get it. And then that was when I was like, okay, I can do this. I got this. I just need to practice and read some more. So for the Western audience, for the Western mind, he is the best thing that you could ever have, because he speaks English. And he's practiced with all the greatest masters in India and in Tibet. And he's also practiced Vipassana for many, many years with Goenka. And so he's been through Vipassana, he's been through Zen, he's been through so many other types of meditation, but he ended up with Dzogchen. He picked the best. And I really understand why he had to go through all of those other teachings before he settled with Dzogchen. And boy, did he settle like in a good place, because his teachings are priceless. They have helped me so much. And I don't even know what I would be doing if it wasn't for his knowledge. He's definitely here for a reason. This great awakening is partly about our spiritual ascension. And spiritual ascension is important when the mind is calm and at peace. That is how you change the timeline. That is how you bring about world peace, is when you focus on your inner peace, your consciousness changes the consciousness of the entire world instantly. So what better way to do it than practice one of the most enlightening forms of meditation, the non-dual state of mind, the Rigpa state of mind that Dzogchen can bring us to, Vipassana can bring us to, Zen can bring us to there. Other meditation techniques focus on concentration of the breath or mantras or visualizations, these aren't considered non-dual meditations. They still involve some sort of effort or concentration, and they may be able to bring your state of mind to a certain level of peace. Mm-hmm. But in terms of having to be reborn again and attaining rainbow body and totally eliminating all grasping and duality from the mind, you have to really elevate your level of understanding of the non-duality of reality by studying non-dual teachings. And there are also Indian non-dual teachings such as the Vedas, and the Ashtavakra Gita is another one. Bhagavad Gita maybe as well. There's so many non-dual teachings from India that are priceless, and I've only read a few of them, but they're good. Like Ashtavakra Gita is so freaking genius. I love it so much. So I'll always read that once in a while. It's very short reading. You can read it in within an hour. Mm-hmm. So I recommend people to try that for fun, as well as trying to listen to some podcasts of Lama Surya Das. Mm-hmm. But this is very heavy. We've been talking a lot about Dzogchen, and what's really important is meditation in general. Meditation is about being at peace when the world around you is not at peace. Mm-hmm. If you can just remember that, that's already your meditation. You don't have to sit down for 2 hours in the dark every day. You just have to be aware that you can choose peace at any time. You can choose to be peaceful when the baby is crying. You don't have to be stressed out and say bad words. So meditation is about maintaining a peaceful state of mind, which raises your vibration considerably, exponentially. And that's the most important thing we should all be doing right now, is maintaining our high vibrational consciousness and hearts, and avoiding getting stuck in depression during this time, because you mentioned to me earlier that a lot of people have been suiciding around the world because they've been so confused about this whole time of isolation. And there's no need to be depressed. This is the greatest time to learn all the spiritual knowledge that's available to help you become a supernatural being. And there's all the time to meditate and practice these really fun states of consciousness, astral traveling, out of body experiences, remote viewing. There's so many things you can be doing with consciousness right now. If you are isolated and alone and depressed, this is the time to empower yourself and transform yourself into a supernatural being. You don't have to be depressed and watch TV, because that's what they want you to be. You don't want to let the deep state win. You want to win the battle by becoming the best version of yourself during this time. And I just inspire others to get out of that depression and loneliness and see this as a time of strength. You get to practice being strong alone. And I think that's one of the best things you could ever do with isolation and with the training of your consciousness to raise your vibration, to learn the secrets of the universe that are out there. And with podcasts like this is how you're going to find out about it. You're going to find out about the secrets by watching the CNN nightly news. So if you're listening to this podcast, consider yourself lucky, because this is your gateway to higher understanding. These times are the times you've been waiting for.
Yes. And I think many people who listen to this right now must have done a lot of work, because otherwise they might not be listening to this deep talk about Dzogchen now. And I hope many get inspired as much as I am to you know, learn about these teachings and learn about duality versus non-duality. To be honest, I don't exactly know what it means yet, but you made me really curious. But maybe you can give me one or two hints what it means so I can go deeper into it? Duality versus non-duality.
Oh, I would love to. That is such a deep topic. That's why it's so high on my Great Awakening Pyramid meme. Not the Great Awakening map, but the Great Awakening Pyramid. I have duality, non-duality at near the top of it, because it's such a profound aspect of our existence that we don't know, but it's always with us. I just wanted to tell your viewers firsthand that you don't have to study Dzogchen first. You just need to study meditation. And there's so many types of meditation. There's a Wim Hof meditation. Just pick one, work at it. And then if you want to go, you know, expert level, try Dzogchen. But don't start out at Dzogchen and expect to understand it, because it's the most advanced teaching you could ever have on the mind and meditation. And a lot of people will be able to hang in there, but it's not taught to people in back in the past, because if it was taught to somebody and they became discouraged, then that would be very, very bad karma for them. So that's why it was protected. It was a very protected teaching. It wasn't given to people who would abuse the teaching or think lowly of it because they didn't believe it or it was too difficult to understand. So this is something you have to realize. The secret mantra aspect about Dzogchen is secret because it's not meant for everybody. The Buddha didn't teach Dzogchen when he was alive. He only taught Vipassana. And later on, when he passed away, his reincarnation taught Dzogchen. That's how crazy Dzogchen is. It came during the reincarnation of Buddha because it was so advanced that he didn't want to teach it to the normal people at that time. He could only give it to the highest disciples. And then during the next incarnation of other enlightened monks who were born and lamas, that information came through their enlightened mind stream, which is a whole other story. But Dzogchen is crazy like that. It came from like celestial realms, you know? It was it was so special like that. So that's why Dzogchen is so amazing to me as a ascension researcher, because this is like crazy stuff. This path gives people rainbow body. Like what else is gonna give you rainbow body?
No,
I haven't come across anything. There's the Emerald Tablets of Thoth that claim to give you eternal life, but I've read it and it doesn't seem to be able to give you enlightenment in one lifetime. I'm just saying, if anybody wants to message me and tell me otherwise, I would love to hear your your thoughts on the Emerald Tablets. But I'm just sticking to Dharma right now, because Dharma seems to be the most legit path out of this matrix, and it's always been the most legit path. But our egos judge Buddhism and Dharma so hard. Being a Westerner, and you hear the term Buddhism, you think it's about praying to some statue or idol. I don't blame people for believing that, because I used to believe that too, and I was an American, but I'm Thai. I was American born Thai, but when I grew up, my mother was a Buddhist, but I grew up for 12 years in a Christian high school. So I grew up with Christian values, and I never, ever looked at Buddhism. It didn't even appeal to me. I didn't understand it. And I didn't understand it 10 years later after that. After I made my Great Awakening map, I was still not really sure what it was. But after I learned that the rainbow body was the direct result of studying Dharma and Vajrayana Buddhism, then I was like, okay, there's something here that is not just about praying to a statue. This is actually about consciousness. Tibetan Buddhism is about consciousness, mastery of consciousness. It's always been about this. How did I miss this, right? So once you start to realize that Dharma is about mastering your consciousness, then you can start to think about it more of like a meditation practice. You don't have to think about it as Buddhism. Just think about it as meditation, because that's what it is. And then after you start to get into that aspect of enjoying the aspect of meditation, then you start to come to the truth of reality, which is what the enlightened Buddha taught. And this is where we get into duality versus non-duality. Because the Buddha taught that everything in our life, all the suffering that we feel, is based on our mind and our mind alone. Objects don't cause us suffering. It's our mind that sees the object and judges it, which creates the chain reaction of suffering throughout our entire life since birth. So I already went over that analogy of the cup. Like when somebody looks at a cup or when they look at a motorcycle, their mind starts to judge the object. And it just keeps going on and on and on. And you've been doing this for eons and eons in life after life. Your mind has just been constantly running, running, running. When you see objects and when you see people, you just automatically start judging. So this is the cause of suffering. And this is the cause of people being reborn after they die. Supposedly, when you die and in your mind is in a state of fear and grasping, and it still doesn't understand that objects are not real, that's the cause of rebirth. And this is what Buddhists believe. And I truly believe this is true from listening to past life regressions and other new age spiritual knowledge. It seems that the consciousness state that you're in when you die is important. So the whole point of meditation is so that when you die, you're in a state of pure peace. And when you're in a state of pure peace, anything that you see, any type of vision that you see when you are past the death state, you're going to be at calm and at peace. And then you're going to be able to decide consciously that you can not need to be reborn again. You can go to a higher realm. You can visit higher dimensional realms, stuff like this. So somebody, you can imagine who's like a killer or a bad guy. When they're dying, they're going to have all of this regret and fear in their life. And that creates grasping, which creates rebirth. That's why you have people who are bad guys. They are born in lower realms. You'll hear this. You'll hear this very often. They'll be born in lower realms and they won't be able to become a human again, for example. This is due to their consciousness not being at peace. It's in a state of duality. It's still grasping onto objects, thinking that they're real. Or it's, let's say somebody dies and they have visions of ghosts or demons, okay? When they see these images, their mind is going to be saying, this is scary. You should be trying to push away from this. You should be afraid. You should be terrified. Because the mind is still grasping at duality. It believes that objects are real, are solid. But non-duality is to see everything as an illusion, as a cloud. A cloud just passes in the sky and dissolves on its own. It's not something that you can grab. Our thoughts are like clouds. This is the non-dual state of mind, is to realize that everything that you see is not real. It's an impermanent object that will eventually dissolve. Anything that you see, like my MacBook Pro in front of me, it's going to dissolve one day. It's never going to be here forever. It may be solid today and tomorrow, but not in a million years. It's going to be gone. It's not a real thing that's going to last forever. And once you realize that everything in the universe is impermanent, then you truly are understanding the non-dual state of mind. You see everything as impermanent, and there's no reason to ever be sad when something is broken or when something is missing or something is not going your way, because you know that it's not going to last forever. And the non-dual state of mind realizes that everything that you see in reality is something that's not going to be there forever. So there's no need to judge it. There's no need to be sad. There's no need to project your humanistic ideals about things, because they're not permanent things. We're grabbing onto all of these concepts and thoughts, and we're associating them with our ego. And that's what creates suffering. That's what creates ignorance and confusion. And it makes us go through life constantly wanting, wanting, wanting something new every moment. And we're never satisfied. We're never happy. And that is the whole reason why the whole world is in the chaos and depression and crime and violence that it is in. Because everybody thinks that the world is a duality, that it's real, that it's going to last forever. They don't realize that everything in life is impermanent, and it's not something that we should be so serious about. One of the quotes about enlightenment is that when somebody attains enlightenment, they say, don't take everything so seriously. And when I first heard that, it just made so much sense to me. I was like, oh my God, that's enlightenment? Don't take things so seriously? You would think that a Buddhist would say, take life seriously, right? Like, work hard and make sure that you're always doing everything on time. But it's more like, just chill out. Like, nothing is real. Like, you know, have a good time. That's basically what the non-dual state of mind teaches us. And the psychedelic experience will also teach you that. But that's a whole other podcast, right? How you can attain enlightenment with psychedelics, which leads to Buddhism and non-duality. So psychedelics, Buddhism, if you don't want to meditate, you can try 5 grams of shrooms or DMT or something like that, LSD. These are all capable of allowing you to experience the non-dual state of mind. And then you can take that bit of experience and extrapolate it throughout your life and, you know, try to find enlightenment through the teachings of the psychedelic. That's another way you can do it. There's so many ways, John. We could talk about, oh my God, this is amazing. This path of enlightenment is amazing. It makes so much sense when you study it from Dharma, mm-hmm. but millions have entered it from psychedelics as well, which is just so cool to me, I think.
So when you, from whatever channel you reach it, but you take away all the things which are not permanent, what stays? So what is permanent? Is there anything? Is love, does it all come back to love, which is permanent? Or is there like some eternal light? Or what is staying if you take away all the non-permanent stuff?
It's really amazing that everything you said is true. The laugh, the light, awareness mm-hmm. is what's permanent. Mm-hmm. Awareness. When you die, you're going to still be aware. But the people who are not aware are the ones who will be in fear and they'll have to be reborn again because they can't control what their consciousness goes because they're not aware that they can be aware. And awareness is the whole point of Dzogchen, the non-dual awareness, the equanimous awareness. Awareness is when you know that you're thinking, that you're here. An awareness practice is just sitting, breathing, and being, just feeling your body. This is a practice of awareness. Mm-hmm. Awareness is something that is forever, is permanent. When you pass away, your awareness remains. And if you're able to maintain an equanimous awareness throughout your entire stage of death, that is how you attain true enlightenment. That's how you attain rainbow body. It's just not forgetting yourself, not forgetting that ability to be aware, which separates the normal being from an awakened being. So when the Buddha became enlightened, he didn't say, I'm enlightened. He said, I'm awakened, which means he is constantly aware that his thoughts are impermanent. He doesn't have to grasp onto his thoughts anymore. He just lets them arise and dissolve on their own, and he is aware of that. But he doesn't become sad or happy when things happen. He just lets the thoughts run on their own and dissolve on their own. This awareness of this process of their thoughts arising on their own and dissolving on their own, this is practice of non-duality, the practice of non-dual mind. So the word awareness may be confusing to somebody when they're first getting into all of this. Mm-hmm. Like, why does he keep saying the word awareness? Like, what does he mean? But awareness is just the knowing that you're doing something without not knowing it. It's very simple. It's so simple that that's one of the secrets of Dzogchen, is that it's so simple, nobody's going to believe it. And that's why these teachings were secret. Because if some ignorant person heard these teachings, they would think that they're dumb or stupid, for example, because they're too easy. It can't be true. You cannot this is not the mind of the Buddha. This is, it must be harder. So the point of the secret teachings of Dzogchen is that they're only taught to the people who would totally dig it. You know what I mean? So you have to understand that the practice of awareness is so easy, but people don't believe it. That's why it's a very difficult practice, but it's the easiest practice. That's the profundity of the non-dual mind. And people should take that with them when they practice this meditation and realize that the enlightened mind is already there with us. It's that moment of awareness for that, even that 1 second of awareness. When you are aware of your thoughts, okay, let's just say you're like in the car driving and you are having monkey mind thoughts, thinking about all of these things you need to do. But if you recognize for 1 second that you are having the monkey mind and you realize, oh my God, my thoughts are just going crazy again. If you realize that for 1 second, then your thoughts are going to stop for that one moment that you realize it. And then that one moment when your thoughts just stop, that is that one moment of enlightenment, that one moment of awareness. Mm-hmm. So if you can think about what I just said mm-hmm. and practice of being aware of when your thoughts run on their own, that is the practice. That's Dzogchen meditation.
Yes. It became so very clear for me in while listening to you. Very clear.
Thank you. Thank you. The whole point of Dzogchen is so that you stop the flow of thoughts temporarily. Mm-hmm. And in that moment of stillness is that moment of enlightenment, the Buddha mind. That's the state of mind that you want to be in when you die, or all the time, because the longer you stay in that state of mind, the more you're turning yourself into a supernatural being. You have to remember that the Dzogchen masters can walk through a cave wall, they can fly, they can put their hand through solid materials like rocks. They often leave their handprint into solid rock walls as a testament to their realization. And some monks are able to make like statues appear out of the cave wall. Some are able to have telepathy. Some are able to perform levitation. Some are able to live for many, many long, maybe like 800, 900 years or something like that. They can just live as long as they need to. So if you think about that, that is some amazing stuff that can be accomplished with a non-dual mind.
Yeah.
Non-dual mind might sound really boring when you're talking about it, but think about the cool things you can do. And then you're going to be like, okay, it's worth it. I'm going to sit through this boring podcast and I'm going to try to understand this simple non-dual mind so I can get these cool powers, right?
Yes.
But the powers are just something that happens along the way. It's not something that you should be aiming toward, because if you aim toward meditating to become superhuman, you'll never get there, because you're still in the dualistic mind where you think that you have to get something, wanting something. That's still the dualistic mind. So once you let go of wanting to have these abilities, that's when you're going to get the abilities. That's the most profound thing about this reality, is that once you let go of wanting, that's when everything comes to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does this work together with, 'cause I know of some meditations and there you have an intention and you combine this intention with the emotion of that it already happened. And that's how you manifest. So how does that work together with letting go of anything you want?
That's really good, because I do those meditations as well. Mm-hmm. There's many, many different meditations for different reasons. Mm-hmm. For example, when I manifest, I envision that what I want has already come true, and I give thanks to the universe. But I don't think they teach this in Buddhism, right? This is just something that we learn in terms of spiritual knowledge.
Yes.
This is a different type of meditation for a different purpose. So you can have different meditations under your belt for different purposes and different times of your life. And I encourage everybody to do all the meditations that bring peace to this world, visualizations, healing, for example. And at the same time, also understand the non-dual state of mind. Mm-hmm. You can still practice non-dual state of mind and do other meditations. But you have to realize that the purpose of ending all suffering is to release any type of grasping to this reality as permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that makes sense. And there's no overarching thing which is then the rule for everything. You can do that, and on the other time, you can do something different, and it's still it's not a contradiction. It's just maybe an additional thing to do, additional meditation to do.
Exactly. I think that when people look back on their life, they're going to realize that at certain times of their life, certain methods made more sense to them. Mm-hmm. And then later on in their life, other methods would make more sense to them. Like, for example, when I was first spiritually awakening, I was doing the visualization meditations, focusing on a light or some type of image. And I was doing the meditations that involved duality. I didn't know anything about non-dual mind back then. And I wouldn't be able to. It wouldn't make sense to me. My level of vibration of consciousness wouldn't be able to handle that. So at certain times of your life, certain meditations will make more sense. And you should do the thing that is making you the most happy in that moment. Don't struggle to learn something that will make you depressed and totally look down on meditation. Do whatever makes you happiest and most joyful and most excited, and then it's going to lead you to other types of methods, and then your vibration will attract other types of teachings and other types of spiritual spiritual awakening information that will be best matched for your mind at that moment of your life. So always pursue the method that is the most exciting for you. Like for a lot of people, they are learning about the Wim Hof method because it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very blood rushing, heart pumping. And that type of joy is something that you should go for. And then once you learn his method, you'll be open to learning other methods. And Wim Hof method is a Tibetan method. He is practicing Tummo, which is a body heat meditation. And this is the meditation that a lot of Dzogchen masters used to practice when they lived in Tibet.
Breath in, breath out, this one, or?
Yes. A lot of these Tibetan Dzogchen masters would live out in the freezing Himalayas for months without eating any food. Mm-hmm. And they would just meditate and do Tummo body heat. This is how Milarepa was one of the greatest Dzogchen masters. Milarepa could fly through the sky. He never needed to eat for months. He could go for as long as he wanted to without having to find shelter. He was known for being naked all the time because he would just be living in the snow in a cave. And he wouldn't need clothing. And his test to his disciples was that if you want to be a Dzogchen master, you have to be able to be naked in this cave for the whole winter without eating any food and just practicing Tummo. Like, that's what these yogis would do. So yes, it's really interesting that...
Sounds like Wim Hof.
That's what I'm... Yeah, Wim Hof climbed Mount Everest in his boxers, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's crazy. That's the type of stuff that the yogis would be able to do back in the day. So the Dzogchen knowledge is coming out into the West, and I think that it was all in divine planning for it to come out like this.
That was a great final word for our podcast. I think we achieved a lot. My intention was that we give people hope, but I think through our conversation, we also gave them a lot of, we gave them, I think, awakening, or the chance for awakening, and I think what you talked about is very, very valuable, and only maybe I would even say magical knowledge. Please, to everybody who's listening, share it with as many people as possible, because right now I think this knowledge and this practice is most needed for the world, and it will help everybody who has any sadness, who is not hopeful, or who is scared right now, to go through this, on this path. And we, through Cem's talk, we could, you know, we saw that there are many paths, but they will all lead to awakening and to awareness, to love and to light. And that's so beautiful. And it's really magical to listen to you, Cem.
Thank you so much for having me again. And I guess I can close by saying that what led me out of depression when I was having my spiritual awakening, I was going through my dark night of the soul. And when I started to realize how magical the human body is, this is what awoke in me and helped me out of depression, is when I learned about my third eye and that I could open it. And then later on, I learned about the rainbow body, and I was like, wow, like my body can turn into rainbow light, and I can actually fly and do all of these supernatural things. So once I learned about these secrets of the human body that I could achieve, that other people have achieved, this was enough to lead me out of depression and lead me on a life where I was now chasing this magical goal of transformation, but it was a goal that is feasible, it's attainable. People attain it all the time throughout history, and this is where our civilization is headed. I think we are headed back toward this renaissance of consciousness, of understanding how to transform ourselves into the highest potential of what the human body can attain in this lifetime.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the transformation. Thank you, Champ, for this great conversation. And I hope you have a great day and a great week.
Thanks so much, everybody. I would love to come back on here again and just go another hour with you, because I didn't expect to talk about Dzogchen this much. And there's so many things that we could have fun with. So thank you for letting me on your show again, Jan. It's been an honor.
For me too. And look forward to the next time. Bye-bye.